I want you to take your Bible this evening, if you would, please. Please turn to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and this is our sixth lesson on the subject of separation. I think we're calling the series Biblical Separation, lesson number 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and if you would, why don't you go ahead and stand with me? We're going to read just a few verses, and that will get us then into the study tonight. I don't think the sermon will last a long time, and I think the sermon will be very, very easy, but I think it's an important part of the building of our thoughts and the whole compilation of this subject of separation. It becomes a very, very one of the important ingredients, if you will, in our understanding. Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this: "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In verse number 3, I want you to notice these angels, when they see God, they use the same word 3 times to describe him: holy, holy, holy. And that will help us to get started. Let's pray and ask the Lord to give us his guidance tonight. Father, we want so much to please you. As I stand in this pulpit, Lord, I want to preach your word, but I don't want to preach your word my way. I want to preach your word your way. Help me tonight that I would teach the Bible the way the Bible would please you most. I pray that it would glorify you. And then, Lord, really, I don't want to listen my way. I want to listen your way. So God, I submit my voice and my mind to your Holy Spirit. May all of us submit our minds, submit our ears to you. Bless us tonight with understanding. Help us, Lord, to grasp another part of the truth about this Bible doctrine called separation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I want you to remember something. When we talk about the subject of separation, everybody believes in separation. Everybody does. You can go to anybody. You only take a few moments to get involved in their life to see that they believe in things being separate. Now, the problem with the human race is we tend to want to practice separation our way. If we really want to do right, we would want to practice separation God's way, and that's our goal. Now, tonight, the sermon is quite simple. It's called God, Our Example of Separation. God, Our Example of Separation. I'll give you nothing profound tonight. I will show you how our God is an example. Our God is the epitome of the topic of separation. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a vision, and it is that he had seen the Lord. And in it, so he says, I seen the Lord. He describes what he sees. And when we read Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 3, there were some angels. And in this vision, the angels are worshiping God, and they go to describe God, and they say, holy, holy, holy. Now that is the description that was made by the angels about our God, our Jehovah God. Now, the Hebrew word for holy is a word kadesh, kadesh. Then the Greek word for the word holy is a word hagios, hagios. Both have the same basic root meaning. It means set apart or separated. The word sanctify comes from the same Greek and Hebrew words that I just told you about. Now, we're not dependent on the Greek or the Hebrew language, but from time to time you can use it a bit as a magnifying glass to look at something a little more carefully if you want to. But remember this, the word holy means separated, or it means set apart. Those of you that have been here through the process of the last five lessons, you'll remember that we had one whole earlier lesson on the subject of sanctification. The word sanctification means set apart, or it means separated. So the word holy. Now, I don't think you ought to be exchanging any words in the Bible, but the word holy, in its definition, it just means separated, which means when the angels in Isaiah's vision were saying holy, 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 they were in essence looking at God and saying separated, separated, separated is the Lord of hosts. Wow, they repeated it three times. And I think they repeated it three times because of such, it's a powerful emphasis. Now remember, if the Bible says something one time, it's the Word of God. But if God says something twice, He is really putting a booster engine on that thing. He is saying this is a big deal. Wow, when God says it three times, God repeats Himself. These angels are looking at God. They say, holy, 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 which is to say, separated, separated, separated. Look, I would say that the topic in regard to who God is and what God is must be a pretty big deal. They knew there was something different about Him. And so, the sermon tonight, I call it God, our example of separation. Throughout this night, I did a study for the purpose of this lesson, and I looked at the word holy over and over and over again in the Bible, because both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word holy is basically the same root word, which is defined as being separated or sanctified, set apart. So tonight, When I read scripture to you, the one thing I want you to keep your eyes on and keep your mind on, when you hear the word holy, it is virtually synonymous with the word separate or separated. And so we're going to learn something about separation by looking at the characteristic of God, which is holiness. God is a God of separation. Now, I start real easy here. Let me say number one, God is our ultimate example in all things. He is our ultimate example. In John chapter 13, verse number 15, it says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done." That's pretty simple. God just said, "I'm your example. Do what I've done." In other words, He means, be what I am. Do what I do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, speaking of Jesus, these words are used, "leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." There's a book that was written by a man by the name of Sheldon, and the book is called In His Steps. And a man had written a book about just walking in the steps of Christ. Here, God is saying, you are to walk in My steps. I'm giving you example. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, it says this, "When He shall appear, we shall be like Him." In other words, you and I, we're trying to be holy. We're trying to separate as we go through this life. But the day that Jesus comes back and takes us to heaven, we will take the final step to becoming like Him. In other words, the final step of separation will take place when we get our transfer papers to heaven. But notice in every one of these verses, He said in John 13, 15, "I've given you example that ye should do as I have done." 1 Peter 2, 21, "leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. And then when we get to heaven, as we are doing our best right now to follow in His steps, when we get to heaven, we will make the final step in this becoming like God. And what is God? He's holy. What does holy mean? Separated. Separated. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus, not like this world. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus, not like religious organizations. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. We're not to be like a denomination. And so you all know, we are not a denominational church in any way, shape, or form. We are an independent church. We get our orders from headquarters. You say, where are our headquarters? In the north. You say, in the north? Due north, straight up. Straight up. We are to be like Jesus. We're not to be like our society. Do you know there are actually people out there that say you need to blend into society so you can win society? Oh no, you need to become what Jesus is so you can win society. But we're to be like Jesus, not like society. We're to be like Jesus, not like Hollywood. We're to be like Jesus, not like this age or this generation. There are those that argue topics of separation because they say, well, this generation is different and they will be reached by different means. No, they'll be reached by the same means that God has used through all the centuries to reach people. We're to be like Jesus. Folks, I realize that the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But let's get down to the very root of fellowship. You're to follow Jesus. And you're to be like Jesus. Now, if you and I tend to follow one another's pattern for the Christian life, I don't think that's bad as long as the one you're following is following Jesus. But this is all about following Jesus. So, tonight, for the first point, first sermon, God, our example of separation, I want you to remember, God is our ultimate example in all things. Number two, God is separated. God is separated. I'm going to run through a bunch of scripture. I want you to listen. Remember, when you hear the word holy, holiness, you remember the word holy is defined both in Old Testament and New Testament as separated. Holy, 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 those angels said. They were saying, they looked at God and say, separated, separated, separated. Now, so, number one, God's our ultimate example in all things. Number two, God is separated. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 2, it says this, there is none holy as the Lord. You know what that's telling us? He's the most separated. He is the most separated. All right. Then, in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8, these words are used. Holy, holy, holy. And that is describing God in the latter times in the book of Revelation. Now, you remember, we started out in Isaiah back in the Old Testament. And the angels described to Isaiah what they saw. And when they saw God, they said, holy, holy, holy. Now we go for thousands of years, and now we're at the end time. Did you know something? God is just as holy in the end time as God was in the beginning time, because He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He was holy back then. He's holy right now. He'll be holy in the future. There's not a generation that is to be holy and the others are not. His holiness does not wear down. What He is in separation has not changed. And so, again, three times in Revelation 4:8, the word holy is used. Holy, 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 describing God. So there again is that triple reminder of God's separation in the New Testament. And this is important to me, and I think it will be important to you in time to come as we continue to study the subject of separation. Because there are some people that would say, oh, well, separation might have been practiced in the Old Testament, but it's not necessary in the New Testament. Well, the same God that was described as holy, holy, holy in the Old Testament is the same God that is described as holy, holy, holy in the New Testament. And that same God is the one that is to be our ultimate example about what we're supposed to be. Now, so there's that triple reminder in the Old Testament, Isaiah 6:3, separated, separated, separated God. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8, holy, holy, holy is the New Testament reference to what God is. So we see that our God is separated. Now, for instance, His name is separated. It says in Isaiah 57, verse 15, whose name is holy. Now, what does holy mean? Separated. Separated. His name is separated. Whose name is holy? His name is not a cuss word. He does not want His name associated with every religious organization out there. That His name is holy. It's to be separated. So, His name is separated. Not only that, His word is separated. Romans 7:12 says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy. Now, the word law there would be a reflection of God's word. The word commandment there would be a reflection of God's word. So He said His law is holy. What's that mean? Separated. Did you know the laws of God are, in many cases, different than the laws of man? They are holier and they are higher. You need to understand something. If God gave you a law that you're supposed to follow, that is to become the prominent law in your life. It's to be separated from the other laws. And then the word commandment, it's spoken of as holy. You know, I think God's book, His word, it's a holy book. It's not like the other impure books. I think that God has given us the King James Bible, and it is separate. It's different than the other Bibles. And it is supposed to be kept separate. So His word is to be separated. His name is separated. So what is that? Well, it's holy. Let's go on. His spirit is separated. What do we call God's spirit? The Holy Spirit. So in Psalm 51:11, it says, Thy Holy Spirit. I don't think God's pleased when His Spirit is by man associated with unscriptural things. There are false religious representations of the Holy Spirit that are not acceptable to Him. Rolling around and talking in a gibberish they associate with the modern-day tongues movement. That's not in the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is not what the Holy Spirit is. I believe that God is displeased when the Holy Spirit is associated with things that are not clean and they're not right. Why? Because His Spirit is a Holy Spirit. It's separated from wrong. You see, His name is separated. His word is separated. His spirit is separated. I found this, and I liked it. It went really well in my outline. His things are separated. His things. Ezekiel 22, verse 26, it says, and have profaned my holy things. You say, what's the things? That's God's stuff. All God's stuff is holy. I can't tell you what all those things are, but those things, whatever they may be, they're holy. What does that mean? They're separated. That's God's stuff. That's holy stuff. That's separated stuff. So, as I was going through the Bible, and I discovered that the word holy is virtually synonymous with the word separated, I wanted to figure out, okay, God, what things are yours, and what things are holy? What things are to be separated? So, we have His name is separated, His word is separated, His spirit is separated, His things are separated, His home is separated. His home. Psalm 68:5 says, God is in His holy habitation. Well, what's the word holy mean? Separated. He's in His separated habitation. Well, we know it's separated. It's separated from hell. It's separated from earth. But it's a clean place. The word habitation, that's where He lives. His habitat, if you will. And that is where God lives. Heaven is separated. You know, there are many things that won't be in His house because of separation. We sing the song, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. The devil won't be there, separated. In my Father's house. We say, sin won't be there. Why? Separated. Hate won't be there. Why? Separated. Worldliness won't be there. Why? Separated. It is his habitation is holy. And I might not say this later on, so I need to say it now. Your house ought to be holy. Separated. Religious people think that the church house is the only place where separation is supposed to be practiced. I'm very sorry. Your house ought to be separated. You ought to be living holy at home. So, God is our ultimate example of all things. And he said, be ye holy as I am holy. And he was saying, you be separate like I'm separate. God is separated. His name is separated. His word is separated. His spirit is separated. His things are separated. His home is separated. His church is separated. Psalm 79, verse number 1, it says, thy holy temple have they defiled. Well, the temple in the Old Testament would have been a reference to what is equal to our church. His church is not supposed to be like the world. You say, well, pastor, you know, we use old-fashioned gospel hymns, and everybody else seems to want to do what pleases the world. We're not supposed to please the world here. Amen. We're to be separated. We're to be different. So his church, it's not supposed to be like the world. His church is not to adjust to what is humanly popular, not even religiously popular. It's holy. This church is to be a holy place. Now, a holy place, sometimes we get the idea. That doesn't mean that you can't laugh. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy. That doesn't mean that there won't be excitement. But it does. That does mean there are certain things that are just not supposed to take place at the church. Just not supposed to happen. Why? It's holy. What does holy mean? Separated. Separate. So, his name is holy. His word is holy. His spirit is holy. His things are holy. His home is holy or separated. His church is to be separated. God's body parts are separated. They're separated. Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 10, it says, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm. Now, I've got a hunch that if his arm is holy, so is his leg. Little exegesis of the Old Testament scripture there. But the Bible says in Isaiah 52:10 that he has a holy arm. What does holy mean? It's separated. It's separated. It's set apart. It's got a holy purpose, a separated purpose, if you will. Now, I think then, if his arm is separated, then his feet are separated. I think his head is separated, and his hands are separated, and his ears are separated, and his eyes are separated, and his mouth is separated, and his tongue is separated. And don't forget, all I'm doing is telling you what your example is, and he said, what I am, that's what you're supposed to be. So your house should be separated, and your eyes should be separated, and your feet should be separated, and your things should be separated. Let's go on. His home's furnishings are separated. Psalm 47:8 says, upon the throne of his holiness. You know what his throne is? That's God's lazy boy recliner. That's his throne. What is that? That's the furnishings that are in his habitation. By the way, his home is holy. Now we find out the furnishings of God's house are separated. They're holy. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't think that he has a bar and bar stools with Budweiser lights in his home. Why? Separated. I don't think he has a CD rack full of rock and roll or contemporary or country music at his house. Amen. Why? Those are his furnishings, and his furnishings are separated. Now, for some of you, you say, oh, this is hard. This is really simple. I didn't get much simpler than this. God said, I am holy, be what I am. Okay, well, let me find out what you are. Now he's telling me what he is. If you want to, you ought to get the CD and write down all the scripture and just check on me. If you want more, I can give you a whole lot more to go along with it. God separated his name, his word, his spirit, his things, his home, his church, his body parts, his home furnishings, his garments are separated. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 10, in reference to Jesus, he is called the high priest of God. I think, have you all heard that Jesus is after the high priest of Melchizedek? He is the high priest of God. Every high priest in the Old Testament was a picture of what Jesus Christ was. Listen to Leviticus 16:32. And the priest shall put on linen clothes, even the holy garments. Isn't that interesting? His clothes that pictured God were holy. Leviticus 6 verse 10 says, God's breeches are holy. It says, and the priest shall put on his breeches. It's mentioned. So the priest wears breeches, and they're holy. And by the way, it's only mentioned in the Bible that the priest wore breeches. But it's a holy thing. God said that your clothing is to be holy. Why? God's clothing is holy. Your furnishings are to be holy. Why? God's furnishings are holy. They're separate. Your body parts, they're to be separate. They're to be handled separate from so many things. The church, his habitation, his things. Not only that, his conversation is separated. In 1 Peter 1:15 it says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So God's conversation is separated. It's holy. There are certain kinds of words God does not use. Do you understand there are words that come out of your mouth that will never come out of God's mouth? Why? His words are separated. They're holy. Did you know that every conversation on God's Facebook page is separated? All God's texting is holy. It's separated. Every tweet is holy. All emails at God's house, by the way, in his holy house, with his holy furniture and his holy clothes, it's all conversation, holy. What does holy mean? Separated. Separated. I think when we get to heaven, all the liberals that have diluted Christianity down to just such a modernistic thing, I think they're going to be shocked when they get there. Their life is going to have to change terribly. Because it's not everything goes with God. Remember, Isaiah 6, verse number 3, the angels, looking at God, said, holy, holy, holy. Then again in Revelation, it says, holy, holy, holy. Revelation 4:8 means separated, separated, separated. God is our ultimate example in all things. And God is a separated God. Now, number three, and this has been the premise of the whole lesson, but it bears repeating. Number three, God commands that we follow his example of separation. Let me read to you some verses. Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 44. It says, sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. So if you want to take a look at all, and someday, why don't you look through the Bible and look at everything that God calls holy and realize that means those things are to be separated unto God and say, okay, those are the things that God says are separated and he is my example. And he then turns around and commands. It's not just a matter of he's God and this is what he is. He said, this is what I want you to be. And so God commands that we follow His example of separation. Leviticus 11:44, sanctify yourselves and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16, actually is a New Testament quote of the Old Testament verse found in Leviticus 11:44 that commands for separation or holiness in the life, which means this. I've actually had people say to me, Brother Owens, you talk about holiness, that's Old Testament. I'm very sorry. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 quotes the very verse that they were criticizing, and God repeats it in the New Testament. Separation is a New Testament doctrine, not just an Old Testament doctrine. We're to be separate in this day and age, just like they were separate in that day and age. That's because God, He doesn't change. Did you know the Bible teaches that men are to be separate? They're to be separate. 2 Peter 1, verse number 21 speaks of holy men. Now, your problem is sometimes you think that holy means some guy walking around in a robe and he's got a pointy hat on and he walks around doing this sort of stuff. You know, my father can beat your father in dominoes. That's not what holy is. You say, what is holy? It's someone that is separate. Separate in what? Separate in music. Separate in dress. Separate at home. Separate in their thinking. Separate with their body. That's what God is. God is perfectly holy. He is separated from all uncleanness. And He said, that's what I want you to be. And so God commands separation, both Old Testament and New Testament. And He says in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, men ought to be holy, or, since the word holy means separate, men ought to be separate. Then He takes the time to tell women to be separate. Women are to be separated. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 5, speaks of the holy women. What's that mean? They're separated. In what ways? Same ways God is. Why? He's the ultimate example. He is what we are supposed to be. I think that's one of the things that we all, it doesn't matter to me what kind of church you went to. Almost every church that you went to anywhere, people go around saying, you're to be like Jesus. You're to be like Jesus. Even the liberal dogs will say, you're to be like Jesus. You're to be like Jesus. When they're doing nothing at all like Jesus, they're going around saying it all the time. This is one of the most simple doctrines in the entire Bible. We're to be like God. Now, when you get into the Bible and find out what God's like, that becomes a little more intense. There's a little more required of us. So men are to be separate, 2 Peter 1:21. Women are to be separated, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 5. Children are to be separated. And that includes all ages. We're talking about young people, teenagers, and children alike. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 2, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, am holy. Now, there's two ways that that is to the youth. First of all, He talks about the children of the people of Israel. So He uses the word children. But even if you say, well, that was to everybody. Oh, I realize that. But he said, unto all the congregation. Well, all the congregation means the children and the teenagers and the adults and the senior citizens, everybody. So God commands that we follow His example of separation. Men are to be separate, 2 Peter 1:21. Women are to be separate, 1 Peter 3:5. Children are to be separate, Leviticus 19:2. For the guys that listen to my sermons online and then they copy them down and they take them to their own pulpits and they re-preach them, they really like the fact that I repeat myself a lot. It's easier to write out their next outline if I can repeat myself. So you guys out there, I'm helping you right now. Now, God expects that His people are separate in general. Isaiah 62:12, it says, and they shall call them the holy people. I'm not going to apologize for it, but I guess I want you to glance at it. If you're living right, somebody's going to look at you and they're going to see that you're different. I don't know how they'll describe it, but the way God describes your difference in the world is that you are a holy people or a separated people. So people will look at you and they'll say, you're different. That's different. Well, God said, you will be called a holy people. And again, that's not because you're carrying a family Bible that's 4 foot by 4 foot square and you got 700 gospel tracts in your pocket. And that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you are practicing separation and people will see what you are. You know, you can't see separation on the inside. No, I think it's supposed to be. I think you're supposed to be separate on the inside, but you're supposed to be separate on the outside as well. People will see it. So, here's what we've said so far. God is our great example of separation. The word holy means set apart or separated. Twice, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, we're reminded that God is holy, 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 or separated, separated, separated. And we know, and we've been taught since we were children, but if we had not, the Bible makes it very clear that number one, God is our ultimate example in all things. We're to be like Him. Secondly, we found out that God is separated. His name is separated. His word is separated. His spirit is separated. His things are separated. His home is separated. His church is separated. His body parts are separated. His furnishings are separated. His garments are separated. His conversation is separated. And I knew I would only be able to preach so long tonight. I could have gone on and on and on and on and on and reminded you of all the things that God said ought to be separated. Then thirdly, God commands that we follow His example of separation. He makes a specific application to men to be separated, and then to women to be separated, and then for children to be separated. Then in general, He comes along and He says, all my people, they're to be called a holy people or a separated people. Number four, God strongly labels the lack of or the absence of separation. Now what we're about to do is I'm going to show you what God, the word holy, which is separate or separation. You'll see comparisons in a handful of scriptures where God labels the absence of separation, where God labels the lack of separation. So this isn't a man telling you what I think of a lack of separation. It is God telling all of us what God thinks of a lack of separation, what God thinks of a lack of holiness, what God thinks of a lack of sanctification, what God thinks when we won't separate ourselves from the things that God wants us to separate from. So, point number four, God strongly labels the lack of or the absence of separation. For instance, God calls the opposite of separation uncleanness. Uncleanness. Let's let the scripture prove that. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Now, what's holiness? That's separation. So, God said, you're either striving for separation or you're unclean. All right? Now, let's find out. God calls the opposite of separation a profane, P-R-O-F-A-N-E, a profane thing. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 36, it says, "They have put no difference between the holy and the profane." Now remember, holy is separate. There's a comparison between things that have been separated, said, and then there are those things that are profane. Now you say, preacher, what does the word profane use? Have you heard the word profanity? It would be a root word or connected to what we call profanity. Profanity is not just it's not just words. Profanity is a vulgarity. When you say they were profane, you mean they were vulgar or they were foul. The word foul is associated to rotten. You know, you ever smelled a foul smell? Get you a gallon of milk and leave it in the fridge and leave it 2 weeks after its expiration date. Pop the lid off of it when it's got all those little floaties and you know where you're building your own yogurt. It can smell pretty bad. That's what foul is. That's what vulgar is. And God said, when you don't separate, he said, it is profane to me. It stinks to me. It is vulgar to me. So God said the opposite of separation is uncleanness. God said the opposite of separation is profane. Then I noticed that God calls the opposite of separation filthiness. Filthiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. So he's comparing two things. He said, you can choose to be unseparated, and I consider that filthiness, or you can be working on your holiness, which is your separation. Now, so I've seen that the Scripture tells me the opposite of separation is uncleanness. The Scripture tells me the opposite of separation is profanity. The Scripture tells me the opposite of separation is filthiness. And God is the opposite of all those things. God is not unclean. God is not profane. God is not filthy. Now, God does not call the lack of separation Christian liberty. You say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, that didn't mean you're supposed to do anything you want. That's stupid. Why don't you go rob a bank then, idiot? So you can't do that. It's against the law. Well, God has some laws too.
Yes, sir.
People say, well, it's Christian liberty. I'm saved. You know, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God said, knock it off and live right. He said, but once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Yeah, but God wasn't saying you could go live like an animal because I saved you. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll lose a blessing. You'll lose a lot of things if you mess around like that. So God, he calls the opposite of separation profanity. He calls the opposite of separation uncleanness. He calls the opposite of separation filthiness. But he doesn't call it Christian liberty, nor does he call it legalism. Legalism. Next week, the Wednesday night sermon is, separation is not legalism. And I'll prove it dogmatically, emphatically, with Scripture. I like this. Did you know the word legalism is not found anywhere in the Bible? Where'd it come from? Well, it didn't come from God. So it had to come from somebody else. Hey, God is not wishy-washy about the subject of separation, nor is he apologetic about it. I don't think you ought to go around starting wars with people about separation. As the pastor of this local New Testament church, it is my responsibility to help us to be like God. I think that's what I'm here to do, right? Am I supposed to be helping you to become like everybody else or like God? Are we to be becoming like all the other religious organizations or like God? Like God. So it's my job then to teach you how to be separate from the world, because God is the epitome of what separation is. And I don't think we have to apologize for that. You know, you'll have people take pot shots at your pastor because I teach and still believe the old-fashioned doctrine of separation. Somebody may criticize that. I really don't spend a lot of time apologizing for it. Well, I don't like it. Well, if you don't like me telling people they need to be like God, then you need to go find some religion that doesn't include God. God's not wishy-washy about separation. He makes no apologies. It is what he is. So, God is my ultimate example. God is separated. And we could, like I told you, we could have called the roll on all the areas where he said this is holy. In other words, this is to be separated. God commands that we follow his example of separation. And then he actually labels with some very strong language the absence of separation, the opposite of separation. I hope you'll take the time to be adding these lessons together. Be thinking about, remember we talked about separation was from something to something. We talked about the main purpose of separation. If you remember, we talked about what is sanctification. It means something is set apart. Remember, it's set apart to serve. This whole process here, who is the one in the universe that helps the most people? God. I'd guess the quality of separation must have something to do with that. Who loves people more than anybody? God. What is God? Ultimately separate. You love better if you're separated. You'll help more people if you're separated. You call the roll on everything that God gets done. It's attached to this quality of holiness, which is in essence our separated God. And let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. You won't find what you were taught tonight in any book, anywhere. It was taken straight from the Bible. Your pastor studied and compiled the lesson so that you could get the foundation of this important subject from the Bible called separation. I know it's simple. I know it's basic. I know it is bottom shelf kind of stuff. But God is separated. And He's my example. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God spoke in my heart, been challenged, learned something, and that's not something I'm going to apply to my life." Would you raise your hand, let God see it? Amen. God bless you. You put your hands down. We're going to have a moment of altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, hey, it might be some of you need to come up here and get on your knees for a second and say, "You know, Lord, I need to work on some separation in my life. I want to be like You." Hey, did you know something? I don't want you to become like the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. That'd be too easy. I want you to become like God. Become like God. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Holy, holy, holy. That's what the angels said. They said it in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 3, and they said it again in Revelation. Holy, holy, holy. Did they possibly say holy once for God the Father, and that God the Father was separated? Did they have a second holy for God the Son, because God the Son was also separated? Did they have a third holy for God the Holy Spirit, because that Spirit is a holy Spirit, a separated Spirit? Holy, 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 separated, 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 sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. This is the last time through the song. We'll check on some prayer requests, and it won't be long, you'll be on your way.